You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. So a lot of Wisconsin Public Radio listeners are like Weird Al Yankovic and really concerned about language. Have you ever found yourself saying something like, it's so cold I'm literally freezing my fingers off, or I need to eat or I'm literally going to pass out?
Well, if so, you might be guilty of word misuse, which might get on the nerves of certain language lovers out there.
But we always hear that language is always changing and evolving. So when is a little word misuse not a crime?
We're going to talk about a number of common grammatical mistakes now, and we want to hear from you. What words or phrases just get on your nerves when they're used incorrectly? Are you a stickler for good grammar, or do you think that language is always evolving and new words and meanings are happening all the time? Call in now with your take at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Ben Bromley joins us now. He's a columnist for the Baraboo News Republic. He recently wrote an article titled Word Misuse is Literally a Crisis. Ben, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob and Veronica, I am literally over the moon to be on your program.
Now, this is, in your column, this is one of the words that triggered you to write this, has led you to write this column. What is it about the way people use the word literally that bugs you?
Well, I think it's because they use it in a way that is completely opposite of its intended meaning. Of course, people mean figuratively most of the time when they say literally.
But think about that. If you say, I am figuratively over the moon, it's not as catchy. It's not as fun to say.
I don't think anyone thinks of word nerds as being lots of fun.
Well, are you, Ben, are you a word nerd yourself?
I am a bit of a word nerd, a bit of an English snob at times. I've written many, many columns where I assemble my mythical word crimes tribunal, where we rail against various misuses of the English language. And as you might imagine, when you get a lot of word nerds together, we have some pretty wild parties. We have big bongs full of Pinot Grigio, and if things get crazy, we might end up with a copy of Merriam-Webster's dictionary on our heads.
Well, that's how it all gets started, isn't it?
Indeed.
Well, there's another book you reference in your latest piece, Garner's Modern American Usage, and I guess there's a scale there for different stages of word misuse. What is that?
Well, that was one happy accident, thanks to the miracle of the Google machine. As I was researching the column about the use of the word literally, I happened to just stumble upon that, and I think that's a great idea. There's all kinds of misuses out there that we need to keep our eye on. Another one, in my opinion, is the overuse of the term amazing. I don't know if you've noticed this, but it seems like right now, if anything is above average, it is amazing. It's never stupendous or extraordinary. It's always amazing.
And it's usually inflected like amazing.
True.
To make it doubly amazing. So in terms of literally, where you started off, this is when it really bugs you, people using it the exact opposite of what it actually means. Where does this fall in this usage scale? Is it pretty bad? Is it almost gone?
No, they've got it only in the intermediate stage, where it's causing alarms, you know, at dictionary headquarters, but it's not quite all the way to being completely misused.
Well, thinking about the amazing one that I've often been guilty of is I've downgraded the word awesome to, you know, instead of something that actually fills my brain with a sense of transcendent awe, I'm happy that you've had in my cup of coffee or something like that. Is that really awesome? Is that something that we do a lot, take that word that's really way, way out there in scale and really bring it into mundane use like that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, the awesome is supposed to mean that you're overcome with a sense of wonder. I mean,
debilitated by
it's
wonder.
It's one thing to look at the Grand Canyon and be awed, but if you're awed by a cup of coffee, I think you need to revisit your life.
I'm pretty hooked, though, to be fair.
But, I mean, won't people who evaluate words for dictionaries say, well, if that word is being used like that by a majority of people, well, guess what? It is okay to use literally to mean what people are saying it means right now.
Indeed, and that has even happened. It's creeping into dictionaries, and they usually will have sort of a caveat where saying, okay, well, it's used this way, and a lot of people consider it a misuse, but I think that's one step toward, literally sort of taking on a whole new meaning.
And as a word nerd, do you view it as your job to push back, to keep things from progressing to that stage where it goes from a misuse of the word to just giving up and redefining the word?
Absolutely. I try, but I think, as you mentioned earlier, the thing about language is it's always evolving, it's always changing, so anyone who tries to tries to sound the bell of conservatism is fighting a losing battle, and I figure long range down the line we'll all just be communicating via emoji anyway.
Well, I mean, given what you just said, that it is hard to pin down language. It is moving. It is changing. It's a moving target. So why not just accept it? Why not just get on board and say you are literally over the moon to talk about this today?
Well, Veronica, I have to write a column every week. I've got to come up with something. No, but I do think there's a lot of people out there, and actually it's the whole Word Crimes Tribunal thing started with a conversation I'd had with my father, and he shares this same frustration when things are misused to the point where they start to become common usage, and it's, I don't know, there's just something about it that sort of makes your hair stand on end, and you want to slap people around a little bit.
We are having an awesome conversation about something that's literally a life or death issue with Ben Bromley. He's a columnist for the Baraboo News Republic. Recently wrote an op-ed titled, Word Misuse is Literally a Crisis. And we'll bring in our callers now. We've got Irene with us in Phillips. Irene, hi. Irene? Oh, Irene is not there. Let's try John in Madison. John, hi.
Hello, this is in relation to the use of the word either. I hear this on all different kinds of TV shows continually, in architectural settings and whatever. What they mean to say is both, but they never say both. They say either, meaning one or the other, but they mean both. The two words are not the same. Hmm. Either is always to be used with the word or.
Either or, but both. Okay, I think I get you, John. And Ben, is that one that's on your radar?
You know, it's not. Maybe I'll have to look into it.
Well, either of us could, too.
There's a lot of those out there, though. I think there's stuff like, non-words, like irregardless. You hear that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's not even a word, and it just drives people crazy. Or the same thing along the lines of if someone says, I could care less. Well, that's another case where, like, literally it's the exact opposite of what you're trying to say. Trying to say that you couldn't care less.
Weary and wary get stuck in my craw, not literally, figuratively. Those two bug me because people confuse them a lot. And where's the outrage?
That's what I want.
I think
there
should be outrage. Does that one bug you?
Of course, absolutely.
Are there ones that are new to you, Ben, that you hadn't seen in the past so much? Because literally, I think that one's been on the rise for a while. Are there ones that are just starting to show up that are on your warning list, your watch list?
Well, you know, I don't want to give away the store, since I know everyone out there is eagerly looking forward to my upcoming columns. But yes, there's no shortage of examples out there. I just think for the moment it literally grabbed me just because just this past weekend I heard on ESPN they did this feature on the woes of Cleveland sports fans, and one of the interview subjects said that the Cleveland Indians had literally been in a coma since the 1970s.
That would be a problem, though.
It would indeed. And what was really disturbing was the guy who's being interviewed is a writer for Esquire, so we expect better.
Okay, let's go back to our phone calls, our calls, and see what they have to say. Susan next in the Wisconsin Dells. Susan, hi.
Hi. My gripe is people who say for you and I, for you or I, between you and I, to you and I. It has to be for you and me. You would never say for I, you would say for me. But people don't use I as the subject there. That's the only time you could use I would be in a subject format. And then I have a ton of other ones. People who pronounce veteran as veteran, two-syllable word. It's three syllables. So is family. And veterinarian is multiple syllables.
Questions of diction getting into there, Susan. I think I'm guilty of that one sometimes.
I sure am.
Veteran. Because I think it sounds more conversational. That's my rationale. Even though there is that extra E in there, veteran, it doesn't sound right to the ear. But yeah. I don't know. Maybe Susan is right. What do you think about that one, Ben?
Yeah, that might be a regional thing, too, you know, as far as how pronunciation. I guess pronunciation doesn't bother me as much as if it's used correctly in the right context.
Yeah, you're more of a print guy, Ben, so you're not
right.
So worried about how we say it out loud.
Say, you guys in the radio world have to worry about pronunciation. I just have to know how to spell.
All right, let's go back to our callers. Thanks a lot for those, Susan. We've got Shannon with us now in Franklin. Shannon, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. There's a word that my sister-in-law uses, and it's the word really. And whenever she gets upset, she's like, really? Really? Or if she wants to be condescending, she's like, really?
Well, so that's not necessarily a misuse, I guess, but an exaggeration. There was a whole Saturday Night Live bit using the word really in that sort of critical, almost condescending way. I wonder if that's where your sister-in-law got it, Ben. But that kind of tag word, what do you think, Ben?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's that's one where it's almost you could just be saying, figuratively, figuratively.
We can try to start that.
It's not quite
I don't know if it's going to take off.
Figuratively? Yeah, okay, I can do that.
Saturday Night Live does set a lot of trends for words, and I know that really one I'm pretty sure must have started there, and it's got legs. It just keeps on going and going.
It seems to. I also think there's a lot of words out there that are getting turned into verbs. For example, you know, people are vacuuming, even though, you know, vacuum isn't technically a verb, and now you see that with, well, you know, 30 years ago it would have been Xeroxing, and now people are texting and Facebooking.
The verbifying of our language. Well, we're talking right now with columnist Ben Bromley, talking about grammatical mistakes and the misuse of words. We want to hear from you on this one.
Yeah, we'll continue conversation with Ben, and you can join in too at 800-642-1234. Do you have a pet peeve when it comes to how people use the language, how they misuse particular words or phrases? And do you correct people if they're getting it wrong, or do you just let it go, not start the fight? If you don't have any of these pet peeves, do you think this is just how language works? It changes. We should get over it. Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're talking right now about word misuse. For example, when we use the word literally or maybe ironic incorrectly, or we mix up a phrase and say something like, I could care less.
We know this gets on the nerves of some people. We know our listeners feel strongly about language one way or another. Does it get on your nerves when people misuse words or use incorrect grammar? Or do you think that, hey, language changes, we use it, it changes as we use it? What do you think? Call now at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll get back to our conversation with Ben Bromley now, who recently wrote a piece called Word Misuse is Literally a Crime. And we'll go back to our callers. Bob is with us next in Madison. Bob, hi.
Hello.
Hi, what do you think?
Well, my favorite word to hate lately is absolutely, but I think I've heard it 3 times now on your program.
Really? Guilty as charged.
If you want a good critique on what absolute is, you got to read Moby Dick.
So wait, we have to read Moby Dick to figure out how to use absolute?
We absolutely do.
Okay.
So, Ben, what do you think? And this is one I'll do, instead of saying yes, I'll say absolutely. I'm sure I've done that sometimes. Is that one that, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Is that one that you've encountered or done yourself?
I think you just caught me. I think I said
it was
absolutely
you.
Earlier. I think I'm busted.
J'accuse.
Exactly.
You got some reading ahead of you, my friend.
Yeah, Moby Dick. Let's start a book club.
The Absolutely Book Club. All right, Bob, thanks for that. And on to Pamela in Independence. Pamela, hi.
Hi there. I teach, and so I have quite a difficult time when I have faculty members that use words incorrectly, especially these two. When someone wants to borrow something from me, and I'm happy to lend it to them, but they will say, oh, would you borrow me a pencil? Just fingernails on the chalkboard. I mean, it's totally an incorrect usage, but they look at me, you know, like deer in headlights, like because I'm staring at them like, what are you saying to me? Because I have no idea what you mean. And so it's, but it's rather ubiquitous because it is everywhere.
Right, Pamela, that is one that, yeah, that one still persists, the borrow me something instead of lending.
And I'll say I've done this. I have a friend who used to do that ironically, and I started doing it kind of ironically, and then this is the curse of my language, that I just start saying it like a normal thing. Is that one you see much, Ben?
I was going to say absolutely, but then I caught myself. I think that's one, too, where it's the caller faces that dilemma of you'd really like to correct the person because you know it makes that person sound, you know, not as smart as they probably are. And yet, you know, if you do that, then all of a sudden you are the holier-than-thou, you know, word nerd. It's easier for me to sort of do it from behind my keyboard and not be addressing someone directly.
Yeah, I feel like language shaming, that kind of, or it could be, if it's okay, if it's in jest, if you say it with a light touch, you can kind of point it out to someone. But if you really come in swinging on those, it can be a little intense.
Or what if we just looked at them and then said, really? Really?
And I'm sure that has happened.
What kind of response do you get when you write pieces like this, Ben? Are people on board and jumping in and sharing other ones?
They are indeed. In fact, when you mentioned other examples, I can lay a couple on you. But whenever I write a column like this, I inevitably get emails back that the people list their, you know, their pet peeves, and I just tuck them aside and use those for my next column. And I thank everyone for doing my work for me. But I know one out there is, for example, there's a lot of, well, essentially redundancies out there. Like you'll hear people talk about past history, you know, as opposed to what's in your future history. You know? Oh, what's in his past history? Or they'll say, oh, this is a company will come up with a new innovation. Well, of course, yeah, it's either an innovation or it's new. It doesn't have to be both.
Well, Pamela, thanks a lot. And we go next to Irene in Phillips. Hi, Irene.
Hi. Sorry, folks. I pressed the wrong button before and you lost me, or I lost you.
It happens.
You're back.
Thank you. The word that drives me nuts is regime, people using regime instead of regimen.
For like exercise?
Yeah, well, regimen would be a good exercise or a diet plan. When they use regime instead of that, I mean, I think of a military or authoritarian governments, you know. Anyway, they're not interchangeable. Am I right, Mr.
Ben, is she right?
I was going to say, you see not only regime and regimen, but more often I see regiment, as in the military troop substituted for regiment, and that's a whole different deal. You can change the meaning of your sentence quite a bit.
Is there any crossover there, though? Because often when one takes up a new plan, it does feel sort of militaristic.
If you're going to a boot camp at the at the fitness club, maybe.
I need somebody to impose some regime change on my exercise program, so maybe there's something to that. Hey, we're talking language usage, and more accurately, language misusage with Ben Bromley. He's a columnist for the La Crosse Tribune, just in front of me here. He writes in Baraboo at the News Republic, and he's talking about the misuse of language. He wrote a piece in a recent article. We'll go back to our callers now with Carol on the line in Milwaukee.
Hi. Yeah, one of my biggest pet peeves is when people talk about quantities of plurals. Like they say there are less people instead of fewer people. Drives me crazy.
Yeah, that can be a sticky one. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah,
is there an easy way to remember
that's
that?
That's a good one. That is really frequently misused to the point where I'm guessing most people don't realize that they are misusing it. That, yeah, you have, you know, there are fewer than eight ducks walking past you on the street, not less than eight ducks, that kind of thing.
Carol, thanks a lot for that. And we go to Laura in Manitowoc. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I have two. The first one has been really driving me crazy, and I don't know if I'm right about it or not, so I'm hoping you'll just say, nope, you have that wrong, and then I can stop being bothered. But it's when you use a word that indicates a quantity, such as a lot or several or many, it seems like people choose the wrong verb of being. They use the wrong tense. So if I'm going to say there are a lot of books, I would say there are a lot, but I very often hear people say there's a lot. In fact, I heard it many times on your show so far. There's many choices, there's many days, there's a lot of opportunities. I think it should be there are a lot, and a lot of times people will use that with a contraction, so they'll say, you know, there's a lot. And then my other one is the first person reflexive pronoun. It seems like more and more I'm hearing this these days, people want to get it correct. And they say, give it to my colleague and myself when they're telling, you know, a second person to give something to their colleague and to the person speaking. People are very often saying myself to try to sound, I guess, more learned. And it comes out sounding to me at least less learned. It should be give it to my colleague and me.
Those are both good ones. And in fact, yeah, the first one, there's a lot of blah, blah, blah.
If I'm writing, I got to stop and think about that. And I don't know,
right
you?
There, I think everybody has these sort of brain sort of fogs where you enter in and you try, you know that this is where you stumble. And sometimes you can't find the word. And maybe I'm just speaking for me here.
Me too.
For me, that is lie and lay.
Oof.
And I know, and I've gone through it, and I've tried, but my brain just shuts down. Every system powers down when I have to pick that word.
No lie. Ben, what's one that stymies you, one that you, as you're writing, have to think about, maybe even go to a reference source?
Oh, yeah. Veronica just hit one. Yeah, the lay thing. I always have to double-check that one, and there are certain words, you know, every time I spell accommodate, that one takes me about 3 minutes, you know, one letter at a time. And it makes me grateful that I get the benefit of being at the keyboard and getting to make revisions as opposed to speaking extemporaneously like you folks do. As the caller mentioned, I'm sure we committed 2 or 3 word crimes just in the course of this interview.
Well, Ben, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Literally heaven.
Literally and figuratively, a lot of fun. That was a columnist, Ben Bromley, talking about his latest piece. It's called Word Misuse is Literally a Crime. You can find a link over at the Central Time Facebook page, and you can share your own pet peeves and maybe own up to ones that give you a hard time. You know, hearing all these, it actually makes me feel good because there's no way you're going to avoid it. We just got to talk and do the best we can.
I'm glad you feel good. I feel like I have to be a lot more careful.
No, I just gave up. I give up.
All right, let us know if we mess up. No, don't tell us. We don't want to know. This is Central Time.